When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, y'all, it's your girl, Claudia Jordan, and we're back with TGIF. We're here to spill the tea and break down the biggest headlines in the news and on social media. Now sit back, relax, and get ready to sip this hot tea. Please welcome Al Reynolds. What's up, Al?
Hey, what's going on, Claudia?
It's out here chilling. You doing good today? You tired? You happy?
Hey, man, man. Look, you're in New York, right?
I am. I'm in New York. I'm
about to What's the weather like?
It was nice today. It was like upper 70s. It was really nice. I was out here with L'Oreal for her show, Listen to Black Women. Tori Hart, Jesse Wu, Danielle Brooks. It was real cool. We had some great combos. And they already started giving me champagne many hours ago. So, yeah. Are you drinking out?
No. Just water again today.
Okay. I have enough for both of us. And please welcome Armand Wiggins. What's up, Armand?
What's going on, guys? I'm here and I'm chilling. And my voice is coming back. So I'm excited. Okay.
Woo-hoo. All that hookah smoking.
I don't know what it was. I think it's those vapes. But now, since I've been taking a break, my voice has come back and I drank some tea. So now I'm back. Like, I can talk.
Come on. The trick is that you have to moisturize your throat and your vocal.
And how do you do that?
You probably have a better idea than me. Because Water, of course. What are you thinking? Water. All right. Okay. Good. So we're going to try to behave a little bit tonight, right? Or are we?
Yeah. We behave every night, I feel like.
No. Unleash. Let it out, Claudia. You've been so uptight lately. Let it out.
Oh, I've not really been that uptight. I'm going to scandal every other week. You know what I'm saying? All right. Go ahead, Armand. What were we going to say?
I was going to say, yeah, you've been sending out your letters and your paperwork and your cease and desist.
letters on deck. Yes.
Feels it must great. Be the birthday coming in. You're not playing any games.
I told you, well, my hair is good. Looks good. Then I'm with the ish. You know what I'm saying? All right. Let's get into these topics. Let's get into this Hollywood breakup alert.
That's not a good picture.
21-year-old Aoki Lee Simmons has reportedly ended her relationship with 65-year-old Vittorio Asaf. Grand opening, grand closing. That was quick. And do y'all think it was the backlash that got to her? Mom, what do you think?
Absolutely. But on one hand, I'm just kind of like, was this staged for, you know, whatever publicity that it garnered? And this, you know how they have these like conspiracies in Hollywood, like how people will like stage relationships just for the photograph and then, you know, supposed to like help the person's profile or business. You know, I don't know. I feel like it could be one of those weird kind of things. Like, all right, we got the moment. We don't have to do this anymore. Like, let's move on. Like, now we know who he is and maybe she's got some attention. Now people probably want to work with her now more, or maybe her dad's going to give her the money. I don't know. It just feels a little bit contrived, if you ask me.
All right, Al?
I'm going to say this 110% didn't have anything to do with her. And hear me out on this. I think I watched all of her reels and her videos that she made on TikTok and everywhere talking about she's going to see her boyfriend. Her boyfriend got her that. Her boyfriend got her this. She was seen in a car riding with him. I want to say, because this man is so old and so wealthy, I don't think he's on social media. So he didn't really see or feel all the frenzy until all his wealthy friends started hitting him up, talking about how awkward he was being slandered in the media. And as a businessman worth millions, if not billions, that he was taking a hit personally with his brand. That's how I felt. And maybe he was like, hey, you know what? You're getting backlash. I'm getting a lot of backlash. Why don't we put some distance in between the two of us right now publicly? So I think they probably came to a mutual decision that right now, given how they both are receiving backlash, that it may not be in the best interest to be so publicly affectionate and outwardly dating each other.
I think that's think that makes sense. And, you know, hey, people may think they want to get into this fame life, but there's a lot that comes with it. And like I said, a lot of times, a lot of rich men that are not famous want that attention. He clearly did not. And I could see that being a problem, especially how awful the picture was. It wasn't a flattering picture, actually, for either one. It was actually a horrible picture. And I think seeing that, probably his daughter was like, Dad, probably his daughter, Grandpa, she's my age. Like, Grandpa, what are you doing? Ansel D'Angelo said Kimora made her shut that down because she knew it would be a bad reflection on the family. SL Willie said that was quick. Maybe her people got in her butt. Maybe he looked bad and folks got with his old ass. And Mrs. Mia Mia said she wanted to prove to her daddy she can pull a sugar daddy after he said she couldn't. And Ray says she dumped him like a hot pocket. We don't know who dumped who, so who knows here, but
right.
That would hurt your self-esteem to be dumped by a man that looked like that. All right, in Diddy news. Instagram model Jade Rammy is clearing her name after she was listed as an alleged sex worker in Lil Rod's lawsuit against Diddy. Girl, I feel your pain. They just be talking, don't they? Mm. Jade told Entertainment Tonight in a statement, yes, I dated someone. How unfortunate we entered a time where caring for someone or falling in love is worthy of scrutiny in the court of public opinion. What may be amusing for you is real life for others. And my feelings have never been for entertainment, nor are they up for discussion. What are your thoughts on her statement, Al?
Oh, I think they're I think it's absolutely ridiculous. Jade Rammy, you didn't convince anybody of anything. You never denied the allegation that you were a sex worker, and all you're here saying is that you were in love with him. Two things could be true at the same time, sweetheart. You can be a sex worker and still be in love with all the fame, access, and money and excitement that Diddy brought to your life. I think the best thing for her to do is stay off of social media until this case is settled.
All right, Armand, what do you think?
I mean, I kind of agree with that, too, because it also feels like, come on, guys, during that time, I feel like he was with her, Young Miami, Daphne. Like, Diddy was seen around with all these different women and popping babies in and out of different ones. So it's kind of like, well, were you really his girlfriend? You know, it seemed like it was more of like a on-call kind of situation. You know, then you had Young Miami talking about, you know, he would let her, you know, take a pee on her, you know? So it seemed a little pay for hire and convenience for me. So like Al says, she didn't clear anything up. And can you be wrong for the people assuming that you were a sex worker, given the type of relationship that Diddy has had with all these women at the same time? Like, it's not that far off.
I don't want to call her a sex worker, but I'm going to say this. I think that a lot of times when you're in these situations, it may not be presented as you are my sex worker. It may be seriously. And I'm always trying to like, okay, I could see how you're one of the girls in the stable. Right. And you don't even call yourself a sex worker. You think you're one of his girls. Like, you know, there's a lot of famous like boxers and other celebrities that have a harem of women. I don't think they would call themselves sex workers. I think in their world, in their mind, and how they're able to deal with it and be okay with it is, no, like, he just takes care of me and I, you know, we do what we do. I think that's where the problem is. But, you know, when someone says it so harshly and says sex worker, and you're like, no, but we've had conversations and he's told me about his mom or his pains. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's where we just don't know because we're not in the room with these people.
So if she was like Cassie, let's just put a hypothetical there. If she, like Rodney Jones is alleging, if she was like Cassie, what he's alleging with Daphne and Carisha, I mean, Young Miami, what do you consider yourself when you're hiring male prostitutes or escorts? You're going on a site, picking out the ones that, that you know, the two of you agree on. They come in, they have sex with you. And then you go to the next one. When you're doing that multiple times, what in their head, I'm just thinking, what emotionally would they call themselves?
Well, Jade probably thinks she's one of his girls, that they are hiring other sex workers, that they're calling those agencies. But I think she probably thinks that she's more than that. I see it all the time.
But it would be weird, though, because then he'd be out with Young Miami, then on vacation with this one, and then popped up with a baby with that one. So they all know that they're not his girlfriend. So yeah, there's sex work. There is holes.
It couldn't be me, but I'm just saying. I see a lot of girls out here that are part of harems that don't. They think they're just like, it just is what it is. Things are different now. Times are different. He knows. He's not just one of us. We're all like taking care. I don't know. It ain't my life. You know, like I said, I was a sex worker. They tried to say I was, but I'm not a sex worker. So I don't know. So Hey, Jade, hit us up. I would love to talk to some of these girls that are in part of, you know, that were intertwined with him. She's saying she had feelings for him, so maybe she doesn't see it that way. All right. Speaking of, Giselle Robinson said everyone with a partner is a sex worker. And well, Carol Jones says, but was she servicing Diddy's friends? And Danny says she thinks she's special. I will tell you this, as a woman, we all want to believe that, even if it seems so ridiculous that, like, it's so, like, I've had conversations with girls talking them up the ledge, like, girl, you're not special. Like, seriously, outside looking in, you look horrible. And they're really delusion, like, because we have this thing called estrogen that makes us sometimes not want to see, you know, what it really is. I'm just saying. All right, moving on. Speaking of Diddy, oh my God, he recently received some fan love while in Miami. Take a look.
Much love. We love you.
All right. Why do you think certain people continue to show love to the men in the industry with a history of sexual misconduct, Aman?
Well, I think a few things. Because number one, I think a lot of the hate we receive, you know, is online and it just stays online. The internet is not a real place. And then once people see you in person, it doesn't really translate there. So people see that's Diddy. They immediately go into fan like, oh, my God. Hey, you know what I mean? And also, I do believe that some men will, and some people, even women, will see that, hey, well, he hasn't been charged of any of this, so he's innocent until proven guilty. The man is still walking free. These are just allegations at this point. That's really all it is. So can you really crucify him?
Right. Okay. Al, what do you think?
I think that first of all, in the video, it was only men saying, hey, what's up? We love you. Okay. And it's just how we in the American culture idolize wealthy, especially black men sexually, and also just being a celebrity and an R&B hip hop mogul. It's that whole sex, drugs, rock and roll is something that a lot of people want to experience but aren't able to experience, and they end up idolizing individuals like that. Marry that to music. He makes good music, like with R. Kelly. He makes great music. He knows how to entertain people, and they can't forget that of 30 years of that over the last 2 weeks of bad press. They still have ingrained in their mind this perception about a guy that they just only until recently, publicly, has he been drugged for all his wrongdoings or alleged wrongdoings.
You know, we have a problem. Well, it's not a problem if you're a celebrity in our country, in our world. Like, celebrity is more powerful than the truth. It's more powerful than the evidence you may see with your own eyes. Like you mentioned, R. Kelly, we saw a 14-year-old girl dancing for him and getting urinated on. And there was still a segment of the population that refused to crucify this black man or throw this black man under the bus, even though said black man is throwing a young teenage girl under the bus, if you really think about it. I think we're addicted and we're obsessed with celebrity. It's like a drug. I think, you know, we talk all this trash. I mean, O.J. Simpson still has people that want his autograph. And yes, he was found. He was acquitted. But one of those wink, wink acquitted, right? We all. So I just feel like there's always going to be people that no matter what the person, the offense is, celebrity trumps a lot of that. I mean, we have a comment from Bettina Lester that said, same reason why they continue to support Trump. He has a lot of followers and he's done a lot for the black community. Wait, I'm not condoning what he said. I will not. And
Aqua Boogie, you're not going to read that.
No, sorry. I read that in real time. Aqua Boogie said, Mike Tyson is a convicted sex offender, but society still loves his dirty drawers. Yuck. Okay, that's true. And he admitted it at the trial. Amber Brooklyn said there were so many people commenting and supporting Diddy on his last IG post. He dropped the video, right? It looked really like that lifestyle. It reminded us of how dope his lifestyle is and how we all wanted to kind of live like that. And people were just forgetting about all this other stuff. So we're very fickle, right?
I don't know, because even on one of these shows, I mean, we had the other day when we were talking about the Kenneth Petty situation, you know, how we were talking, I was like, you know, if he's been kind of clean and on the right path, we could still rock with him. So perhaps it goes the same way. Diddy, he hasn't been, he hasn't been convicted of anything. So why are we going to crucify him? You know what I'm saying? If we're willing to forgive a man who's been convicted, went to jail as being a rapist, if we're willing to forgive him for good behavior, then we can give Diddy some grace because he hasn't been convicted.
I just hate how we pick and choose. It's not a very consistent ring stick. You know what I mean? There's people in the community that will never forgive Chrisette Michele for performing at Donald Trump's inauguration. People are done with her. And what did she do? She got a bag to perform at a white supremacist inauguration, allegedly. But, okay. Hey, we'll see where this goes. Okay, coming up, Terrence Howard opens up about his lawsuit against CAA. And later, we are breaking down Al's outrage. Keep it here. We'll be right back.
Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
Welcome back to TGIF. All right, y'all, we have an update on Jonathan Majors. The actor avoided jail time after being convicted of harassment and reckless assault in the third degree. Instead, he was sentenced to 52-week in-person domestic violence intervention program. Do you think this is a reasonable outcome, Al?
I don't know. I've been sitting here thinking about it, Claudia. To be honest, they put him in an in-person domestic violence program where he has to be in a therapy session once a week for 1 year. All right. So for me, where is that therapy session at? And also, can he do it remotely just in case he gets a new job? Because if that's not the case where he has to be in person, like they're saying, is he allowed to get a job outside of California? I mean, obviously not, because if you violate your probation, you go to jail. For me personally, and I know this may not sound like the smartest thing, but for me personally, I think I would have taken jail time, because I think his jail time was something like 10 to 30 days. It was something minimal. I think personally, to get this behind me and get back focused on my career and not have to worry about violating a probation for 365 days, I personally would have taken the 10 to 12 days in jail, gotten it over with, focus back on my career, rehab my career after that, and would not have to worry about violating any type of probation.
All right. Armand, what do you think?
I probably would have done the same thing. From a person, have been through the system myself. I didn't complete the full probationary period, so I ended up having to go and do 3 weeks myself. So I understand that probationary, that's harder sometimes. That's harder than, just going doing the time sometimes. And, for me, it's easier to make a mistake when you have this 1 year probationary period that you have to abide by. So I think I would have taken the time too, especially since, his whole career pretty much got ruined. He lost all those jobs just to have to end up going to therapy. You should have just went to jail for the 30 days and moved on.
That makes sense to me, Armand, because I was also talking about this on my YouTube channel where we said in that year, he can't bump into somebody. He can't have a car run in with anybody because they could call the police and, they could escalate it to something out of his control and make it something that it's not. And that will fall under the guise of violating his probation. Right. And so I don't know. I agree with you. I think do the time real quick and turn the page.
I'm sure he doesn't want the image, right, that we would all have of him coming out of jail, and that's probably why he didn't. But I will say, being on perfect behavior when you have a history of, kind of a little outburst here and there, it's going to be difficult, y'all. Sometimes they set up these parole conditions in a way where they're going to violate it, and they're going to get you on the back end. Okay, Amber Brooklyn said, I wonder if his career will survive this. And New Attitude said, well, off to the white women Jonathan goes. And Rejuve, you said he did not commit a violent crime. The penalty fit the crime. Please, Al. And JW said, who cares? We are done with this topic. I feel like they are dragging this out to embarrass this black man. All right. I don't know. Terrence Howard sat down to explain why he hit talent agency CAA with a hefty lawsuit. Take a look.
Every year I'm asking my agents, what's going on? I didn't know that the packaging deal, my agents were incentivized to keep my pay low.
All right, how do you feel about this? And are you feeling Terrence's new look, Armand? What do you think?
Wait, what is the hair given? What's the Farrah Fawcett hair given? Is that what do we know? Is that like a movie or something? Is this a skit? What is this?
I pray that it's a movie.
Well, they're saying that he kind of wore this 70s flip to kind of bring attention to the conversation. So allegedly it's supposed to be a wig. And I'll say this, I think that Terrence Howard is very smart. What, if you really looked at this deal, they did not take their 10%, Claudia, that an agent takes. They said, hey, we're your agent, but we're not gonna take your 10%. What we're gonna do is we're gonna package this, because they also represented the executive producer, Lee Daniels, and also another executive producer, I can't remember his name, Jay Strong or something in there like that. And what they did was they had a profit participation deal where they got a percentage on packaging the show and all of its talents and selling the show. So the reason why they didn't give him money that he was worth, he only got up to $350,000 an episode, not like his colleagues on different shows with the same time slot with less viewers, is because if they paid him what he was worth, then their profit would have shrunk. So he wants his $150 million that he deserves based on his rate, right? And not based on the agents looking out for their profit margins and not his. I think it makes perfect sense. I just think he diluted it, you know, with this hair.
I think he's trying to pay them taxes. And so he thought, hey, I need some coins, because don't he owe about $100 million or something crazy, allegedly, in taxes? You guys will find out the facts, but he owes a lot of money in taxes. And I think he's trying to figure out ways how to get that money paid, in my opinion. That's what it sounds like to me.
I don't understand how this outfit is bringing a better, it does make it go viral, because we're sitting here talking. But we would still be talking about this even if he didn't have that wig on. But I don't get the meaning. Is it going over our head? What is the meaning? Is he going back to the 70s? What is it like a...
Yeah, I think I missed it too. And that's the part where we're talking about the wig more than we're talking about how much sense he makes and the money that he's owed and what was done wrong. Now, let's be clear. He was done so wrong and he was so right that after the writer's strike of 2020, they have banned this type of packaging deal for agencies to do moving forward. So he's got his finger on the pulse. He's definitely making a lot of sense, but he's looking crazy all in the process while doing it.
He's no dummy. I just question his choice in lace fronts of wigs. I hope you win the good fight against the corporations. All right. Singer Lily Allen did not hold back when addressing Beyonce's new country album, specifically her version of Dolly Parton's song Jolene. He said, it's very weird that you cover the most successful song in that genre. You do you, Beyonce. And she literally is doing her, or is she doing Dolly? Social media, of course, had to chime in, and someone wrote, and Miley did it. Oh, and Miley did it, was the same question asked then. Another person wrote, Beyonce killed her version of Jolene, period. Not only did it have the exact same vibe, but the words made you feel more empowered. Do you think Lily Allen is out of line here, Al?
Oh, absolutely. Okay, guys, be mad at me if you want to. But first of all, she's not even American. She is a Brit. She's from London. And she has no idea what the genre of country music, where it comes from in this country. So what gives her the right to speak on with such authority her disdain for Beyonce and how Beyonce is going back to the roots of country music, which started with the African slave trades and the chanting? I just find that someone so disconnected to be giving her a voice just really pisses me off. Oh. Beyonce is bringing people together, not dividing them. And it's this type of spewing that divides people and not bring them together. If Dolly Parton didn't have a problem and she's the queen of country music, then why do you, Miss Lily Allen, have a problem? And what are you even talking about? Why are you speaking on American pop culture or American genres when you're not even an American? And I know that's sad, because if she was a thought authority in music, then I could probably pay attention, but don't come at me not knowing the roots. And the roots go back to African history, which gives this black woman, Beyonce, very talented black woman, the ability to participate in that genre without all your drama.
You know, some of the Caucasoids been really angry ever since Beyonce took over and dominated this country music scene. They have an issue every single week about Beyonce. They cannot keep Beyonce's name out of their mouths, just like Beyonce cannot keep her songs out of the top 10. They are staying. Just like Beyonce is staying in y'all's
mouths.
Absolutely
right.
Why are y'all so mad? Why are y'all so... This is the same way they behave when Black people came in. Arthur Ashe got into tennis. This is the same way they behave when Serena and Venus Williams got into tennis. Same way they behave when Tiger Woods, a quarter of his Black self, got into golf. Like, they get so upset that when Black people enter these different spaces, but this one in particular, we're going to always stand on this one because, like we've said on the show many times, look up the beginning, the origins of the cowboy and that culture and actually country music. And where did it start? Armand, what do you think about this?
I agree with both you guys wholeheartedly. And I just think that, honestly, it's not even really about the song or Dolly Parton. It's just about a Black woman stepping into this space and white people are feeling some type of way. That's all it is. They want us to shut up and eat our food and stay in our little section that they've given us. And we're breaking out of that. We're waking up. We're taking our roots back. We're taking our history back. And it's making white people feel uncomfortable. And they think that their voice matters so much that we should give a damn about her opinion. Like, why are we even talking about her? Who is she? Beyonce doesn't care. We don't care. Like, her opinion does not matter. She can stay over there in Europe with that, because we don't care.
I honestly don't know who this person is. I don't know
who she is either.
I don't either.
Dolly Parton allegedly requested that Beyonce cover the song. You know, I guess when you've been pushing this narrative for a long time, white supremacy, and this isn't all white people, and please, I hope this is not felt by all white people. I'm talking to people that are racist. I'm talking to people that have a problem with this. You specifically, you know, I understand that the frustration with seeing a group of people that have been held back so much and still thriving. And then when they come in a space that you deem yours and special that like we can't conquer, comes in and does it so effortlessly. Maybe if you weren't so busy trying to hold people back and try to keep people out of things, when they do get the chance to do it, they won't be so goddamn good. You know, it's a lot of like, it's not a lot of pent up like, okay, bet. And that's
what about when they jump into all of our spaces, our looks, our fashion, our style, our wording, and our music, and they're rewarded for it, you know?
But look
when
how
they start,
we're welcoming. Black people are welcoming. Like, look at how we embrace John B. and Justin Timberlake, and the list goes on. We call them blue-eyed soul.
Eminem.
We give them awards. Yeah. We don't hate. We're like, oh, he's cool. He's down. He, you know, he gets it. Like, we're more welcoming. I'm just saying. Most of us. Coming up next, we are breaking down Al's outrage, and later we're digging into some political news. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Welcome back to TGIF. All right, let's get back to some more topics. Soulmates, our very own brand strategist Al Reynolds, is passionate about covering stories that are placed in the archives of media. And that's why tonight, Mr. Reynolds will be giving us his unfiltered opinion in a segment we like to call, Where's the Outrage? Today's outrage is coming straight out of Raleigh, North Carolina. The first Black-owned children's bookstore in North Carolina is being forced to shut down less than a year after opening due to death threats and hate mail. Victoria Scott Miller and her husband, Dwayne Miller, opened the bookstore in June 2023. While addressing the death threats, Victoria stated, "Some we brushed off, while others included disturbing phone calls detailing what our son Langston wore when he was at the shop alone." Wow. Al? Take it away.
Yes, you heard it right. Death threats, because she owns a bookstore that educates young Black men and other young people of color to empower them. Yeah, where is the outrage? It's like America don't want the younger generation to be educated about anything other than their struggles as Black Americans, but not all of their triumphs. There are significant contributions that Black people have made in America in sports, in education, in law, in science, in television, and in business. Instead, America insists through threats and now even legislation in multiple states to rule it illegal to learn the truth about your power as a young Black man. And we see it right here. So I say, where is the outrage? And where is the outrage in this case? I'm gonna say it's twofold. One, against the prejudice in the white supremacists, but also where's the outrage in our community? When are we gonna stand collectively together and say no more on this bull crap? No more outlawing books about us in public schools. No more outlawing bookstores and threats to be allowed in communities that look the color of you and I. No more, and let's start today. So for me, the outrage is not only with the white supremacists and those legislators who are trying to take away the power of us learning more about our greatness. The outrage is also for our Black blogs. Why aren't I seeing more coverage on this? The outrage is also for not our notables like the NAACP standing up for our rights that are clearly being violated at this moment. The outrage comes on the national platforms like the talk shows of the morning. Why aren't they highlighting this story and bringing solemn to this woman and support? Where is the outrage from all of us in this? Because we all hold a stake. If you are too afraid to stand up for your young Black kids in America today, then we are really at a deficit. Let's do better. Let's figure out a way. Let's write to our congressmen. Let's go to the board meetings in Raleigh. Let's take to social media. Let's demand that this woman has the right to educate our young Black men so that they can grow up to be powerful individuals in sports and education and law, science, television, and business. Let's do better collectively so that this type of stuff won't ever be allowed again.
All right. Hey, you know, Al, we have to piggyback what you're saying. We have over almost $2 trillion worth of buying power, spending power in this nation, Black people. Imagine if we were all on code collectively. Right. If we were collectively on the same page, instead of just being me, 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 I, and we were on a we thing like our aunts, like our parents were, the 60s and the 50s and the 40s, we would have a lot of power. This stuff wouldn't be happening. That's giving me slavery. It's giving me Jim Crow. Right. That a bookstore can't peacefully exist in 2024.
And you know what else is also said? I think that, like, he made a good point as far as, like, the media, the Black media and publications. But I think, unfortunately, us as Black people and consumers, we're not interested in this. We're not excited about this. So we probably won't take the time to read it. It doesn't turn over as much clicks or views or engagement. So therefore, it won't get posted, you know? And this is, that's so dangerous for our community because, you know, we should know that these things are kind of happening. So I'm glad that we have this segment and, you know, you're able to show, highlight these moments because I would have not known either.
I do want to say this. I do want to thank Fox Soul. I want to thank Joyce. I want to thank our producers. I want to thank Claudia and you, Armand, for allowing me the opportunity to highlight this type of stuff because our platform, I don't care what anybody says about it, we speak into spaces where it's unspoken and it's from our perspective, from our power. And I want to thank everybody at Fox Soul for allowing me to do this.
And there was a couple blogs that did put out there because that's what we saw it, but we need all of them to be talking about this. Y'all talk about Blueface and Krishan. And run those numbers up on those kind of stories and Kanye and Diddy run up these kind of stories as well. We need some kind of balance. All right. Good work, Al. Let's get back to some more topics. Actress Zooey Deschanel caused a stir after tackling the topic of nepotism. She said it's funny because people will be like, nepotism, no one's getting jobs because their daddy's a director of photography. Definitely not. Someone on social media wrote, this is exactly what a nepo baby would say. Someone else wrote, I'm so tired of this conversation. They were born privileged and that's okay. Accept it and let's move on with our lives. Do you agree with Zooey or do you think nepotism plays a part in some people's careers? Armand, what do you think?
Definitely nepotism plays a part in people's career and she's a nepotism baby, okay? Her father's what, a 6-time Academy Award nominated film, what is it?
Cinematographer? Director of photography.
Yeah, director of photography. So absolutely he has connections in Hollywood. Of course his offspring and his family will have, you know, the cheat code, the direct line to whatever that they need. So I'm not going to just take away like her talent and ability to work and be an actress. But at the same time, you definitely get a closer opportunity, a better opportunity to, you know, making it. So I definitely think it exists in Hollywood.
All right. Al, what do you think?
I think that nepotism exists. I think that nepotism is okay as long as they're good and they rise to the occasion. But I'm going to throw a different perspective in here. I think we, you know, the black community, we need to start exercising nepotism too. That's what I think. I think we have, over the last decade and a half, we've had a lot of black people in significant spaces doing significant work in entertainment and sports. I love how LeBron is recruiting his son to the NBA. I love how Lala Anthony and her husband is grooming their son for the NBA. I love watching that happen. That's a form of nepotism, making sure they have the best trainers and making sure they have the best coaches and making sure they're in the best teams to be seen, to be groomed and to be prepared. I think it's okay. We as black people need to stop this narrative, especially when we have the opportunity to empower nepotism, to say, oh, you got to earn it like everybody else did, because our cohorts are not requiring that. And our cohorts are getting paid and passing on their generational wealth much better than us. So I think nepotism is okay. I just want more powerful black people to exercise it.
It seems like we do the opposite though. We'll stop talking about that. But as far as like helping, it really, I really don't see a lot of it happen sometimes, but not as much as it should. And yeah, we should. You know, I just think that we've been so, maybe our DNA just has so much like struggle in it that it's still in a lot of our DNA to be like, no, I had to work the hard way to get it. You, I'm not going to make it easy for you. So we just kind of do that. And I wish we would actually, be a little bit more helpful. Again, we could be so powerful if we got on one page, but we refuse. We have too much ego in our community. We do.
But I think we're seeing it a little bit, like at least with the with Kanye and Northwest and, you know, Beyonce and Blue Ivy. Mm-hmm. Like it's happening. You know what I mean? It just didn't happen maybe for us. But I mean, it's happening now. Like people are waking up. And like to you guys' point, I don't see anything wrong with it, because I wish I was a Nepo baby. You wouldn't make me feel bad about it at all. But I would still do my thing. It's not a bad thing. And I don't know why people try to make it seem like it's a bad thing. I can't help that, you know, my family or I'm rich or that I have opportunities. I believe that we all try to work to get to that position to where it's easier for the next generation coming behind us and our family. So I would love to have a generation of nepotism babies that I produce in my life, you know? So I don't think that we should bash people or try to make them feel bad about it. But also, girl, let's just keep it real. It is what it is. Don't try to relate where you can't.
Right. I don't mind if the person's talented, but they just they suck and they're taking a job away from someone that's actually
good. Yeah, now that's when it gets weird.
Paige said Denzel put his son on. We need more of that. And JW said absolutely, and they should own it. Stop acting like you had it hard. You may be talented, but you definitely had it easier. Yeah, right. It's okay to. Yeah, all right. A man in Kentucky has admitted to faking his death to avoid over $100,000 in child support. 39-year-old Jesse Kemp. manipulated death registry by using personal information from a doctor in another state, making a case of death for himself. He pleaded guilty to one count of aggravated identity theft and computer fraud. What's the wildest thing you've done to get out of paying some money that you owed, Al? What you think?
The wildest thing I've done? I don't know. I'm too afraid. First of all, I'm afraid of prison. So I don't want to do anything that could possibly get me a jail time. I just have so many questions with this story. Like, how many kids did he have that he owes $250,000 in child support? And how much money does he make? That means he must be making, he doesn't look like it, but he must be making a hefty amount of money to owe $250,000. I know this is not popular opinion. I don't know that I would have faked the death, but I would have tried other methods. I mean, how would he ever pay off $250,000 and he still has to pay for the day that he starts that moving forward? I don't know there's a win-win here at all.
No, Amber Brooklyn said, this is so ratchet, sir. Take care of your kids. Shaking my head. Armand, what are your thoughts?
You know, there's that look that we talk about. It's a certain look that they have. And I'm going to be honest with you. This may be an unpopular opinion, but hell, you know, judging from the look, and I know what that look means, that was his only option, but to fake that debt. I mean, because what else was he going to do? Where was he going to get the money? You know what I mean? So if I was him, I feel you. Shit got sticky. I mean, he had to do what he had to do. But at the same time, if you can get that clever and that creative, bro, you should have been that smart either to use condoms and take care of your kids or go get a job so you can afford to pay the debt off. You know what I mean? Because he went to some extenuous lengths to not have to pay that debt. So smart somewhere. He just didn't use it in the right way.
You know, on one hand, it's like, damn, that's got to suck to have that, like, that monkey on your back of all that money that you have to pay. And a lot of times you're not with the woman anymore, so you may call her all kind of names. You may, I want to pay that B. But also, the money you're not paying, someone else had to make up for that. And those kids probably had to go without. So, you know, a bit dramatic to fake your death. Now you have more fines on top of that. Now you're going to have a record making it even more difficult. And now you're kind of stuck. You're almost in that kind of probation situation where they're like waiting for you to mess up again. Like you belong to the game now. And you do have that look in your eye. That's that look of when they might do something.
Yeah. Right? And that's that look where they go and, you know, and say, you know, I don't want to pay. I'm going to go kill the kids and the woman and kill myself. And then, you know, it's somewhere, it's a Netflix special somewhere. You know what I mean? That's that look. He'll kill the whole family before he pay.
Yeah, he's not paying that money.
Didn't kill himself.
Allegedly.
In my opinion.
Shelby W. said, child support racks up fast over the years. You should see my baby daddy statements and the outstanding balance.
Ooh.
Air Bear said his check is going to be completely gone every month for 6 years. I mean, so is the mom's every month, too. So I'm sorry. You both made the kid. You both have to pay. Keep it locked, because coming up next, we're digging into some political news, and later we're spilling the tea on spicing up your relationships. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show. All right, Uncle Sam can't seem to stay out of the news lately, from dirty politicians to people speaking out against their governments all around the world. We'll get into the tea with a new segment we like to call Political Tea with Claudia. All right. Donald Trump recently compared himself to Nelson Mandela in an attempt to defend himself against his upcoming hush money criminal fraud trial in New York. Trump posted, if this partisan hack wants to put me in the clink for speaking openly and obvious truth, I will gladly become a modern day Nelson Mandela. It will be my great honor. Child. Nelson Mandela spent 27 years in prison because he was fighting for everyone to have democracy and to be able to vote. And he's a peaceful man. You are on trial for hush money you paid a porn star you had raw dog sex with while your wife was pregnant. Y'all are not the same. And what we're not about to do, Trump, will let you play in our faces. I don't know why you're so obsessed with black men. Like, you have this love-hate thing with black people. Because I remember when you told me specifically, don't waste my time dating black men. And I asked you why. You said, because they don't have any money. So you deem them less than worthy if they don't have money. Seemingly, you're not going to have money much longer either. But to compare yourself to one of the greats in history that was known for peace, that was known for inclusion and wanting everyone to vote, while you're sitting out here with all these election interference cases is beyond me. Like, the fact that you don't see the irony in this is mind blowing. And you want to be president again? And you say Joe Biden is the senile one? You compared yourself to Nelson Mandela while also singing the praises of Adolf Hitler and saying how much you like this guy. You've talked about this. We've heard you. So I would like you to keep legendary black men out of your mouth. Shut the hell up when it comes to that. Do not put your name and Nelson Mandela's name in the same sentence unless you're talking about opposite day. It's a slap in the face to this man and his family who selflessly sacrificed over a third of his life in a prison when he could have gotten out if he would have just succumbed. And he didn't. He stood on principle, something you never do, Donald Trump. You used to be cool before you got with the Tea Party, and then you wanted to pander to racists and pretend to be one so you can, like, get that forgotten people vote. But please stop disrespecting Black people. On one hand, you trashed them. On the other hand, you want to be like them and comparing yourself and thinking you're going to get the Black vote because you think you have an indictment against you makes you more sexy to Black people, because it does not. Once again, I will say in closing, keep Nelson Mandela's name out of your mouth. Fellas, what do you think about this? How ridiculous this is, Donald Trump saying to make that comparison. Armand, what do you think?
Really quick, I just think that, you know, like you said, the Nelson Mandela piece, that was a very selfless act. Donald Trump is working out of ego and self-righteousness. So it's just not the same Donald Trump. He's a master manipulator. at Gaslighter. He's entertaining, but at the same time, it's all about himself. He doesn't care about the people. This is for his ego. So, Donald Trump, I'm not with you on this one, my guy.
Al?
Claudia, I can't add anything more to that. You did an excellent job of highlighting like why he should never, ever, not on our good internet and not on our platform, are we going to ever support anybody talking against a Nobel Peace Prize winner, a fighter against, you know, apartheid, you know, someone who's spent 40 years, 260 awards in their lifetime and still spent 27 years in prison. No, sir. No, sir. Not this month, not the month of April. No, in fact, not any month.
No. And his obsession lately with the black folk, I'm telling you, this man told me to my face not to deal with black men. So I get really frustrated when I see black men rallying around this man. I know we give you a hard time, Armand, about the sneakers, but like for me, he personally told me this to my face and kind of, to me, he threw away the entire black male race. And although I'm not a black man, I have love for black men. And the fact that he said that so casually to throw him away, but now he's using black people. He's trying to manipulate black men. And some, they say, a percentage are starting to kind of buy into it. But
he would never be champion Nelson Mandela for any other reason or anything else. So he's trying to pander and he's trying to manipulate people right now. And he's being very selfish in doing it. So, yeah, it's definitely, it's the nasty spirit that he's doing right now. Nasty work, Donald.
Hey, very nasty. Come on over to the right side. Come on.
Very nasty. I mean, I can tell a gaslighter when I see it. You know what I mean? And you're using this to your benefit right now. And it doesn't look good. It doesn't feel good either.
Oh, there is hope in the world. We're getting through. All right, coming up, we're spilling the tea on spicing up your relationship. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the show. All right, check out this tweet. The tweet says, can we admit relationships get boring? Do you agree with the tweet? And have you done, what have you done in the past to spice up a relationship? Go ahead, Armand.
Getting boring? I just think it goes through its ebbs and flows. I guess that's boring. I don't know. I wouldn't call relationships boring. I just think sometimes they get stagnant. So I think sometimes you got to get to a point where, okay, the honeymoon phase is over. You know, where are we at now? And so there's just different things you can do. I would say take a vacation. Sexually, there's things that you can do. Experiment on things that you guys have never done before. Maybe fantasy, play some dress up. You know, be spontaneous.
Okay.
Something like that.
I hear you. Drink some alcohol. Partake in some festivities.
Fly out. You know what I mean? Have a threesome.
Oh Lord.
I kind of feel like if I'm really into the person for me, because I love very hard, I think I've never gotten bored with someone that I'm really into. I mean, I like all of the challenges. I like all the ups, I like all the downs. They're not always comfortable, but if I'm really into a person, I'm not bored. You know, bored to me say like they're not interested in each other anymore. And I think that happens a lot in relationships. But to me, if I'm really into you, I don't really get bored. I even like the boring days. I like to just sit at home and watching TV. I like the cooking at home instead of going out. So for me, if I'm really into you, I don't know that over the years that I have dated and been married, I don't get bored if I'm into you.
I think I've gotten used to things, you know, where it's like, okay, the butterflies aren't there anymore. But I do think if you think you're going to have butterflies for the rest of your life with anyone, you are sadly mistaken and you're in for a very big disappointment. Because anything you really liked or loved in the beginning, and I hate to compare things with people, but like, say you get a new chain or a new car, you love it. You talk about it all the time. You like, and after a while, everything that you love so much, you like, maybe like, okay, I don't know if it's bored, but you're like, all right, it doesn't have the same excitement. But it's still valuable. And I think we have to like look at things as still being value. And I think there's value in stability. I'm the type of person, I can eat the same kinds of food and be able to do the same kind of things for the rest of my life. And I'll be happy with that. I like stability. But things can get boring when you're not being fulfilled, I guess. If you're being fulfilled, I think, how can you really be that bored? But what do I know? I'm single right now. So, hey, there's that. All right. Before we go, oh, we have a comment. Sunny Lovin said, spontaneity is the key to having a boring relationship. Wait, is key to having a boring relationship. Is key to not having a boring
not
relationship.
Not having a boring relationship.
Yeah, they left the word out there. You got to spice it up and make it hot. Okay, let's go to our game. Before we go, let's play a game of Would You Rather.
Okay.
All right, cue the music and Soulmates, play along with us in the chat. Fellas, would you rather have an 850 credit score but no cash? Or $2 million in cash with a poor credit score?
I'll take the credit for no cash.
I'm going to take the $2 million in cash with a poor credit score so I can pay off my debt, raise my credit score, have a whole lot of money left over, and still have both the credit score and a whole bunch of money.
I'm taking the money. I'm using ScoreMaster already. My credit will be you like that, Joyce? And then we're going to not make those same mistakes that got me bad credit. All right, up next, would you rather marry someone rich, treat you poorly, or marry someone broke who treats you like a snook queen?
I'd rather marry someone rich who treats me poorly. Because I can take the money and do what I need to do with it. I won't be there long, but I need to get ahead. I can't be happy if you broke.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to marry someone broke who treats me like a king. Only because I make my own money. I've been doing that for a long time now. And I know how to, get myself wealthy. I personally could never be in a relationship where someone treats me poorly. That shit feels horrible.
Yeah, I've done the rich person. I think they have a lot of options. The gut punches, constantly disappointment. I can't do it. I'll take the poor guy that treats me well. Now, we all make money together. We don't find a way. Would you rather be able to read your partner's mind or look through your partner's phone every day?
Be able to read my partner's mind. That would save me a lot of, what do you want to eat today? Or a lot of, what are you okay? Are you feeling some type of way? Did I do something wrong? Being a mind reading is everything.
Ooh, I don't know. I don't think I want to know what someone is actually thinking. But I don't have the interest of going through anybody's phone all day. But if I had to pick, I would say go through their phone every day, maybe.
I'd rather be a mind reader because going through the phone, do not go through my phone, and I will not go through your phone. Because it's too easy to misunderstand something and be mad. True. If I read their mind, I would really know what they really would care if someone can't win. That could suck too, because what if they she's getting fat?
I know, right? Or they were like, I wish you would shut up.
Right? Would you rather have a partner who's adventurous in the bedroom but emotionally distant, or would you rather have a partner who's emotionally connected but trash in the bedroom? Ooh.
Okay, I'm a real emotional, touchy-feely kind of person, so I would go B. Have a partner who's emotionally connected but trash in the bedroom, because we could work on that. But if you give me my cuddles and my kisses, we're good.
Not me. I need some good sex. Trash in the bedroom, that goes straight to divorce court. I think you give me some adventure in the bedroom, and emotionally, I'll teach you. I promise you, I will teach you. Give me some good sex, and I'll teach you everything you need to know.
Oh, this is hard, because if I'm not emotionally supported, the sex is going to be trash. I won't get into it. So...
Hey, yeah, but how are you gonna stay around with trash sex?
Play. Anyways, we gotta go. I want to thank my co-hosts, Al Reynolds and Armand Wiggins, for joining me tonight. Thanks for watching us on YouTube. Stay tuned for Fox Soul Face Off. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Y'all behave tonight, okay? Try your best.
It's only Tuesday.
Have a good night, soulmates.
You know what I mean? Bye. Bye.